The format of tonight's meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, the first of which will speak on the second tradition, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker to share on the second tradition is Zach.
Hello, my name is Zach, and I'm an alcoholic. Nye, thank you so much for, wherever you are, there you are, thank you so much for asking me to do this. It's an honor, and I get excited, and that excitement can be disguised sometimes as fear, but it's just my ego playing games. I'm excited. You know, I love AA. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because I was desperate, and I thought I was going to die, and I couldn't stop drinking, and I went through the 12 steps and had a spiritual experience, and now my experience is that the thought of alcohol doesn't even enter my mind, and when it does, it runs right out the other side, and that's pretty incredible. And the 12 traditions exist, you know, and my adherence to them exists so that hopefully when the next alcoholic comes through the door, you know, there are meetings, there is AA, there are people like they did for me to offer them the 12 steps and help them get sober. So I don't know, that doesn't really sound like a fishbowl, but that's sort of like how I understand the traditions and why I need to adhere to them and why I need to understand them, because my recovery depends on helping other alcoholics. And this place where alcoholics get help depends on those 12 traditions. So my life really depends on those 12 traditions. So here we are with the second tradition. I'm supposed to read the long form. I don't know where it is in here. I wrote it down. The long form is for our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, right? So it is what it says, you know. It's pretty simple. An example of a group conscience is how these traditions were ratified. You know, they were presented to Alcoholics Anonymous, and the members of Alcoholics Anonymous voted to ratify them, you know. That's how we make decisions here. You know, the groups make the decisions. You know, the group members are in charge of their group. At the time, you know, when the traditions came about, you know, Bill and Bob are very much like, you know, leaders of AA, and they use the traditions to pass Alcoholics Anonymous on to the members of AA. So, as I understand it, you know, I have to participate in my group, and I have to participate in the decision-making processes that go on here. And one way I can do that is, you know, I get service commitments, I get involved in the group. In this group in particular, you know, we have a steering committee, you know, and so I can help elect members to that steering committee by showing up and electing an overall chair at the end of every year, and that chair then goes on to that steering committee. I also am allowed at any time that I can find them, you know, I can go up to any steering committee member and ask them about any issue that may affect the group, and I can offer them my opinion, you know, and how it may affect the group, you know. And much like these traditions came about, you know, sometimes these ideas are spearheaded by one individual, you know, and it's their responsibility to then inform the rest of the group. You know, Bill Wilson did that through these letters he wrote in the Grapevine about each of these traditions. Right, so then AA became informed about the traditions, and they were able to take a vote on that, you know. And one special thing that, you know, Mike was talking to me before the meeting, he pointed out, you know, if you've been to a steering committee, you'll see that they have they ask for a minority opinion, you know. And it's a really interesting idea, because whoever's in the minority then gets to offer up their opinion as well, you know. So it's not just like, this is the way we're going, and see you later. You know, we're going to listen to what the other people have to say. And sometimes that does affect a change in the group. You know, so I've been lucky enough to sit in those steering committee meetings and see those. You know, I love the sentence that says, you know, that's not in the long form, it's in the short form, where it says, our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. I came through the doors of AA and Jeff, of this group, and Jeff was chairing the meeting, and I kind of thought he was the king of AA, you know. And another group member told me I was standing in the middle of the hallway and I shouldn't be standing there, and I thought she was the queen of AA. And I just assumed that that's how it all went down. And then, you know, in short order, they rotated off, you know. And that's actually not how it goes. But, you know, it talks about, you know, I see people and I think they're in charge and I think they're leaders, you know. And after going to those steering committee meetings long enough, not even for that long, forgive me, thank you, I was like, you know what, like even the most spiritual dude I know is not like leaving the AA meeting and going like, let's do that again, you know, like they want their egg roll, you know, you want to go home like you have a life, right? These people are serving us. You know, they're going and sitting in that room and hammering out like what kind of coffee we're going to drink out of what kind of cup, you know, so that we don't have to have that conflict. They're serving us. We're electing them to serve us. Something that, you know, my friend likes to point out to me is this word as God, he may express himself in our group conscience, right? Like, who's to say what's right or wrong for each group to do? You know, that's God's choice, right? And that can be expressed if a group is growing in size and number and effectiveness, then clearly their group conscience is in line with God's will. And if it's not, you know, maybe that group will shrink or split up into other groups or something like that will happen. But it says it may express himself, right? It's relying on the fact that the people involved have had a spiritual experience, have their hand in God's hand, right? The people that are participating in these decisions. You know, I've been in a situation where I'm not sure that the group conscience was God's will. Anyone go to Atlanta? So I'm in Atlanta, right? And they do this old timers meeting, right? And a certain number of people with like a ton of time get to come up and share 5 minutes of their story. 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. The thing comes up and you got to go. And this guy gets up and he's telling this great story and he goes, and then I went to sing this song, and it went time, and we're all like, what, there's just a song coming, you know? So the whole stadium starts to go, boo, right? Which I'm sure some of you want to do now, but, you know, whatever. I look good. And, like, what is that, you know? Like, we all of a sudden decided, like, no, I don't care what the arrangement is that we have with the stadium, like, what time we have to leave here, not important. You, committee of people that have been working on this for 4 years so that we can all come here, you didn't actually think it through. Right now, in this moment, the most important thing we can do to stay sober is to hear that song. You know? It's like, my mind's not always in the right place. You know? So thank God, you know, that I heard Stella speak on this tradition a couple weeks ago on Friday, and she talked about the 12 Traditions Illustrated and how there's just a picture in it, and it's like this big guy tapping another guy on the head and going, like, just sit back down, you know? And then in the next cartoon, he's like, okay, and he sat back down. He's like, now let's talk about recovering from alcoholism, you know? And that's sort of what needs to happen to me, you know? Like, ego deflation is a part of this process, and this tradition allows ego deflation to happen, you know, at the group level. You know, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. You know, even if I don't agree with whatever decision the group makes, you know, it is my duty as a participant and a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, to follow the guidelines that the trusted servant set out for me, right? That's playing fair, you know? Like, when I got here, my mind was still in the sandbox. You know, I was like, I want to tell you what toys you can play with when, and if I don't get my way, I'm crying, you know, and I'm running to the teacher. And, you know, one way I can practice this tradition is, like, to adhere to the group conscience, you know, to show up and wear my suit when I'm supposed to wear my suit and when I'm speaking at another group, this group conscious that we wear Atlantic group attire. And so I do that, you know. I don't love to do it, you know, when I'm like running out the door to do another. I don't like strapping the suit bag on my shoulder, but, you know, it's what I was instructed to do. You know, when I got here, this room was packed with people with their arms open, and I was completely convinced that there was no hope for a guy like me. You know, so I try to adhere to these traditions and become knowledgeable about them and experience them so that I can be a part of this altruistic movement moving forward. You know, I think that's enough out of me. Thanks.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Susan.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susan. I'm an alcoholic. So this is huge. First of all, thank you, Judy, for asking me to speak and giving me this opportunity to be in great service. And this is my very first AA meeting I dragged into, totally unwilling. So I dragged into and said, two girls take me to upstairs, Jenny and Lee. We sit upstairs and... So a little bit of background. Growing up, I don't have anything to blame for myself to my alcoholism. Very loving family. And although I like to blame sometimes my genetic. So my culture, two cultures I grew up is very famous for their drinking ethic, drinking culture. So, but I don't have any... alcoholic in my family, so it's only me. I have a relatively short drinking career, but the progression was lightning fast. It was the bottom after bottom so fast. And 5 years ago, I lost someone in drunk driving accident. So I don't like to talk about it, but since there has so many people here, if someone is struggling with DUI or come here because of that reason, to do the work and count your blessing, it saves you, not only saves your real life, it saves your loved ones from long suffering, so many years suffering. So I wanted to say that. And I was a blackout drinker, so certain years of my life, I don't remember the years. I just don't have memory of it. So I moved to New York. I got a job. I lost the job. There's so many things happening. I got promoted. Everything blackout. I was a daily drinker and blackout. So it's not good. So I came here several months. I got the sponsor, and I struggled really, really hard to get me sober, and I couldn't do it. 2-3 days. It's 2-3 days. Keeping up just 2-3 days was very hard. So I basically struggling. My first sponsor, Alexis, who's always sitting over there, and now it's like three of us struggling. My sister, me, and my sponsor, Alexis. So finally I got together like 70 days after program, after some kind of treatment, and I came. I was kind of feel good about it, and now it's like I'm sober. It's like, what's my career going? There's so much things going on, and I didn't want to do service. So, and service commitment is the most important thing. I want to talk about it now because that's the things like change. Not only working the steps, a lot of steps. My favorite one is 9th step, who I made so many amends, people who deserve my service. And not only that, it's the game changing for me, it's service commitment. So I got some 70-something days. I went to meeting. In beginners meeting, they normally have their questions, anonymous questions asked, and people answer. And there has question about serious commitment, and I was hearing, it was Bob, our Bob. I don't think he's here to, and he was answering in big, like his fashion. And loud and clear, I heard the message. And he said, I quote, he said, if you got sober here, and if you get help, and you don't do service, and you're not sharing it back, your teeth. And I was like, this loud guy, even though that question wasn't my question, so this loud guy just called me thief. you don't want to be thief in sobriety. So I got every possible commitment I can get, and some meetings I have like two commitments, and that changed for me everything. Service commitments helped me to understand my program more, understand the conception of the program. Thank you. And the beauty of the program is the concept of it's so simple, but it's so brilliant. Just helping one alcoholic to another through the service commitment. And alcoholism is thrive on our self-centeredness and selfishness. And if I don't feed my alcoholism doing something totally opposite, I was okay. So I put together a lot of things. Now I have God in my life. I'm relying on something greater than myself. And so, what if service? I forgot what I said. I was like thinking about so many things. I want to say something about my mornings normally. I used to have mornings. I wake up, I said I don't remember so many things in my, like, 13 years of my drinking. I only remember in the morning. I wake up, that remorse, shame, all this feeling in the morning was the worst part of my day. But now it's changed. It's the best part of my day. And few months ago, I think my Wednesday night table, I heard someone sharing. I think it was Doug. And he said something about when he gets sober first time, his sponsor asked him to wake up early in the morning, see the sunrise and how it feels. And I love that story because right now, I love mornings. I love the sun. The waking up in the morning without any pain, without any actually remember the day before. This is just unbelievable. I don't want to repeat same thing over and over again. I think I said it before. And alcohol and Anonymous doesn't solve all my problems. I still have like daily problems with work or with other things. But Alcohol Anonymous solve my alcohol issue. I don't have a problem. So it's it was my last things I wanted to say. You may got 99 problems with alcohol, one of them. Yeah. So it's recorded. So I was like, what is finished? So, working with others, and it's amazing. The conception of it, why AA works for so many people, and it works for me. This is my last place I could possibly come. I have shorter career, but it's like there is so many days I could just die. And in being here and talking my experience, it's just unbelievable, and it's just a miracle. So everybody's here, blessed. All of you here, blessed people, thank you so much. I'm going to end now.